Welcome to Marilyn Solutions with Reverend Marilyn, the speaker for the new millennium. Join Marilyn as she talks with guests offering a wide range of talents and information. And now, here's Marilyn.
Welcome to Marilyn Solutions. I'm so glad you are here today with me. Our guest today is Sidney Kirkpatrick from Pasadena, the author of Edgar Cayce, An American Prophet. First, I'd like to remind people we're being sponsored by Crystal's Voyage in Tacoma, Washington at Freight House Square. Call her for your metaphysical needs at 253-272-GEMS. Also, Olalla Treatment Center in Olalla, Washington helps those in recovery and also the family members. They have a treatment program for them, too. Call 1-800-882-6201. And Evelyn Mulvey of Partners Counseling is available to help you with your counseling needs in this new year. Call her at 253-839-3642 for help with all your counseling problems and gain peace of mind. It is my pleasure to introduce a friend, Sidney Kirkpatrick, and author of Edgar Cayce, An American Prophet. When Sidney was an investigative journalist and author of several books, including the New York Times best-selling Cast of Killers, he first learned about Edgar Cayce. He believed him to be a fraud, and to prove his point, he launched on a six-year investigation odyssey. And what Sidney found in the Cayce vaults at the Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach, Virginia, is now revealed in what has been called the definitive biography of the greatest psychic who ever lived, and the most important book ever written about the sleeping prophet. While there have been many books written about Cayce's trance material, this is the first biography to be written in 60 years. Edgar Cayce, An American Prophet, is available on Amazon.com and it is one of their bestsellers and has been receiving rave reviews. Sidney has toured the country signing books and has done many radio interviews across the United States, helping to reawaken the world to the great life and work of Edgar Cayce. I met Sidney last year on a cruise going to Mexico, where we were sailing to visit ancient ruins, and he was lecturing on his book for the Association of Research and Enlightenment on that cruise. I have not been able to put this book down. I found it absolutely fascinating. I'm amazed at how he took all these facts and wrote them into such a readable story. I am so glad and pleased to have Sidney Kirkpatrick on our show today.
Thank you, Marilyn. Boy, it's a subject I love talking about, and especially with you. You know, it's a great pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm so glad we could work this out. One of the things we did talk about for just a short few minutes that we might include right at the beginning of our program is that you have an article coming out in a few weeks at L.A. Times Magazine. And this article that's coming out is going to be a real earth-shaking announcement about the Boston Strangler and what Peter Hurkos has had to do with, he's a psychic, what he had to do with this announcement. Maybe you'd like to share just a few minutes about that, and then we'll get on with Edgar Cayce.
As you know, I come from the background as a true crime writer, as a journalist. You know, I spent years covering true crime stories before becoming an author, and it's just one of my interests, and one of my primary interests has always been the lurid Boston Strangler murders in the early 1960s in Boston, and to my mind, though a killer confessed to the murders, it just didn't sit right, and it really didn't make sense. And for anyone who really studied the case, it just didn't add up. I didn't have anything to contribute then, and as the years passed, it had bothered me. After writing Edgar Cayce, however, I revisited the Strangler story. And as you've said, I was quite a skeptic before studying Edgar Cayce, and I dismissed any kind of contributions a psychic might make just out of hand, as I think most newspaper people would do. I was aware that a psychic named Peter Hercos, who was from Los Angeles, had worked on the case, you know, had been part of the original Strangler investigative team and had come up with his own ideas. But after Albert DeSalvo confessed to the murders, you know, the Peter Hercos theory just went out the door, along with the suspect he named. And after, you know, spending 5 or 6 years really intensively studying Edgar Cayce, I could no longer, you know, dismiss contributions by a psychic. So I went back and started looking at Peter Hercos, you know, what contributions he had actually made to the investigation. And lo and behold, I think Peter Hercos named the killer. And now with DNA evidence, you know, which was something that investigators didn't have, you know, they didn't have those tools back in the 60s, it can be authoritatively shown, you know, that Albert DeSalvo was not the Boston Strangler, and which raises, you know, important questions about who was. And, you know, it's my belief that Peter Hercos, you know, back in 1962, hit it right on the money. And like so many things that psychics have said over the years, you know, especially Edgar Cayce, because some of the things that, or, you know, a vast majority of things that he was saying in terms of medicine, in terms of history, ancient history, the cosmos, things that scholars, theologians, physicians dismissed out of hand in the 1930s and in the early 40s have now become a reality. And I think it's very timely, and it's important to dust off, you know, the pages of Cayce's trance readings, to go back and take a long, hard look at Cayce, as well as Peter Hercos, as well as others, to see what contributions that they have made. I mean, the timing is right. You know, I often think we know that, you know, an artist's contribution or an architect's, it often takes 50, 100 years after an artist has died before you can really take a look and see how their work stands up, and if it's truly a contribution. And I think we will find that Edgar Cayce's work, as well as Peter Hercos's work, really, you know, stands the time test.
Sydney, is the killer still free and out on the streets in Boston?
Well, you're going to have to read that on your own, because I think it's going to be, you know, quite sensational news, and I'm just tickled and pleased to be able to introduce it. And, you know, had I not you know, come from a true crime background, and had, you know, Edgar Cayce not suddenly, you know, shaken a lot of the, you know, my preconceptions about, you know, the universe, you know, I don't think I would have gone back.
All right. Well, I'm sure people are interested in hearing more of what you have to say today. Our phone numbers are Pierce County, 253-584-1480. In Pierce County, call 253-584-1480. And in King County, we have a toll-free line, no dialing of number one. Just dial 253-804-5765. 253-804-5765. Please stay tuned. We'll be back shortly. Thank you. Welcome back to Solutions with Marilyn. We're so glad you're here today, and hopefully you will call in with your questions to Sydney Kirkpatrick. He has a lot of information about Edgar Cayce. Sydney, you have a fascinating story about how you got involved with writing this book about Edgar Cayce. Would you like to share some more about it?
Yeah. you know, as I said, I come from a real true crime writing background, and I've been quite successful. I've been blessed, actually, to have, you know, reached quite a success in my writing career. And, you know, started out one day in the parking lot at my children's school. And the administrator of that school sort of accosted me in the parking lot one day and slapped a copy of an early Casey biography in my hand and just sort of blithely announced, "This is going to be your next book." And I was very polite and everything, but, you know, there's no way in the world I was going to write about Edgar Casey. At that time, I was sort of the belief that anyone who put their faith in a trance medium ought to see a psychiatrist, which sort of just shows you how far I've come, you know, since then. But we developed a real tug of war over the subject, and as much as I thought the administrator was a very intelligent woman, I just thought she had been misled that these Casey stories and these Casey trance readings had been embellished, that spin doctors had come along, and although she was very well-meaning, she was misled. And, you know, our tug of war just developed from there, and the more I protested, the more I tried to show her, you know, what I thought of as the truth, the more, you know, documents and things started piling up in my mailbox at school, and it became a very unpleasant kind of thing. And you know, I look back on it now, because this was about, you know, 8-9 years ago. The word synchronicity just was not in my vocabulary. But strange as it seems, when I look back, we found ourselves on the same plane flight to Washington, D.C., which is just, you know, a stone's throw or so from Virginia Beach, where the Edgar Casey papers are housed. And it just seemed natural that we would take this debate one step further, and that I would go into the Casey library and start going through the readings, and I would find the trance reading which would prove my point. And I went in, you know, fully expecting how easy it would be to you know, prove fraud or you know, spin doctoring, embellishment. And, you know, I just couldn't find it. You know, I spent the first 5 or 6 hours digging through those readings, kept thinking that any minute I was going to find this next trance reading, and I didn't find it. And, you know, one day led to the next, and finally, you know, I had to come to a real difficult decision. You know, I think many people who come and look at the Casey readings sort of face this sort of trial period, because you make an interesting jump. You go from asking, well, did he do what he is said to have done, but how? And once you make that little jump, it's like opening a Pandora's box that you can't get closed.
How do you think that he did do this?
Well, you know, if you asked Edgar Casey, he would say that this was a gift from God. And as a small child, he had been gifted. And he believed that the inspiration, you know, was of divine origin. And as such, this was an ability, a talent, which was not to be abused, which was not to be sold. And I think this is one of the things that is so delightful and inspiring about Edgar Casey, and something that sets him in a class all his own. You know, we're so inundated with, you know, 1-900 psychic. We come to see these ambiguous, sort of vague ramblings, often coming from psychics, that can be interpreted in many different ways. This is not the case with Edgar Casey. You know, the two things that really jump out at you are, one, the specificity of these readings. In terms of the medical readings, for which, you know, Casey is best known, you know, red blood count, white blood count, body temperature, real factual easily verified things, names, dates, locations. And the second thing, I think, which hits you is the sheer volume of these readings. Casey didn't do, 50, 100, 500 readings. In the course of his career, he gave upwards, to 25,000 readings. This is twice a day, every day, for 45 years. This is not fraud. This is something he did. And this is a man, without an eighth grade education. Something was coming through. And of course, Casey himself said, that this was a divine origin. Scientists who have studied Casey have other thoughts on the matter. There are other possibilities. As a young child, when he was an infant, Edgar Casey was once sat on a fence post, in his diapers, and he rolled off the fence post and onto his head, onto a nail, which went right into his skull.
Mm.
So one might argue that there could be a physiological, explanation, but that doesn't necessarily mean it wasn't also, divinely inspired.
Why do you think so many people do not know about Edgar Casey today?
Many people, I think, find themselves where I did a few years ago. There's a real emphasis, I think, in particularly in my generation, sort of close-minded scientific approach, and I think this is one of the wonderful things about Edgar Casey. I mean, that's so enticing because you can take a scientific look at Edgar Casey's work. I think also that so much of the emphasis for many years on Edgar Casey has been sort of in the vein of New Age kind of spiritualism. The time has come where you can take a look back, a hard scientific look back, a medical, you can take a medical look at these readings and really dust them off and discover just absolute wonderful treasures. And I think that's why this book is doing so well, and I think that's why Edgar Casey's image now is looming larger than it ever has.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, he's called the father of holistic medicine, and I was wondering if you could share some of the medical treatments that he found or were revealed to him.
Yes, when they talk about Edgar Casey as being the father of holistic medicine, I think what that really means is that Edgar Casey was not looking at the symptoms. And I think this is one of the great deficiencies in modern medicine. Edgar Casey and the readings that came through were really looking at the root cause. Edgar Casey often talked about it as, that if you can maintain, the four big aspects, medically, with yourself physically, your circulation, assimilation, relaxation. Relaxation is very important in the Casey work, so it sort of maintains the nervous system, as well as elimination. If you can keep all of that operating together, Casey was essentially saying you can overcome almost any disease, and you could live, many years, beyond what might be termed a normal lifespan.
I believe that's true. I know I've had a lot of healing coming about in my life through some of his philosophies and things that he's written in his material. What was it like being locked in the vault at the ARE?
Scary. it really is like a Pandora's box, and when I initially thought about doing this book, I gave myself a year, 2 years tops to write it, and I think contractually it was 2.5 years. Well, at the 2.5-year mark, I felt like I was just scratching the surface, that here was just a truly remarkable story. And the deeper you dug, the more riches there were. And now I'm absolutely convinced that no matter what profession you're in, no matter what your state of health is, you will find particularly relevant information in those Casey readings. I mean, there's something like over 5,000 different subjects, everything from, you know, hair loss to diabetes to psoriasis, you know, to the role of women in the founding of the Christian Church. It just covers an incredible spectrum of subjects. And, I urge anyone, you know, however skeptical they might be, to consult those readings, to look at them. Just as a reminder, let's look at psoriasis. Edgar Casey, you know, in the 1920s, was saying that psoriasis was a result of the thinning of the walls of the colon, and that toxins were leaching out into the system and had to be eliminated somehow, and were coming out through the skin. Hence, you got the, you know, what, a skin condition. Physicians just dismissed that out of hand when he was saying it in the 20s and 30s. You know, now the Edgar Casey treatment for psoriasis is state of the art. You know, there's a chiropractor in New Jersey whose sole practice is treating psoriasis with the Casey treatment, and he has something like a 95% success rate. Another example, Edgar Casey was talking about Jesus having been born in a community of Essenes around the Dead Sea. And he went even further by stating that, you know, this was a matriarchal Hebrew sect, and that women were running, you know, the Essene community, and that Jesus was trained by a woman rabbi. You know, again, you know, theologians just scoffed at that notion. Well, the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, some 15, 16 years after Edgar Casey died, suddenly, you know, introduced the world to the Essenes, the Essene community, you know, who wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. Well, even, you know, 15, 20 years after that, archaeologists in and around the Dead Sea, you know, excavating Essene cemeteries, you know, have discovered that, you know, the richest burials, the most prominent burials, the rabbis are women. It's just incredible how factually true these things are, you know, the things that are said in the Casey readings are coming out, you know, and so I urge anyone, whether you're a true crime reporter or whether your interests are in, because your children have diabetes, consult the Casey readings. There is something there, and it's something, you know, that will help you. And it's you don't have to believe it, but it's something you should know about. Edgar Casey is someone everyone should know about.
Well, I agree with that wholeheartedly, Sydney. I would like to remind my listeners that if they wish to reach me for counseling, to call 253-845-4907 or email me at Marilyn, care of AngelicasGifts.com. If you would like to sponsor this program, call the radio station, KLAY, at 253-584-1480. We're always looking for more people to help us out. And the numbers to call in at Pierce County are 253-584-1480, and in King County, 253-804-5765. And stay tuned. We'll be back. Welcome welcome back. We're here with Sydney Kirkpatrick. And first, I would like to share with people who the next people will be on the program the following week. I want you to tune in next week and hear two methamphetamine recovering people who are sharing their experience and hope with others that are needing help in that area. And the following week, we have Dr. James Wanless, who has written Way of the Great Oracle and has a Revolutionary Voyager tarot deck. Following that, we will have Dr. Gladys McGarry, a holistic doctor from her clinic in Scottsdale, Arizona. She helps people return power and health to their lives spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. In fact, she uses the Edgar Cayce philosophy in her work. She'll be on February 13th. I want to remind people to call in with your questions. We have lines open. If you are so inclined, we'd love to hear from you. Sydney, you have so many interesting things to say. I was curious about what president had Edgar Cayce give him readings.
You know, it was one of the wonderful discoveries, I think, in walking into that archive. I mean, the first big discovery was that Edgar Cayce had given readings for so many famous people. You know, from Woodrow Wilson to, you know, George Gershwin, Irving Berlin, Nelson Rockefeller, you know, just a myriad of the president of Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company. Gosh, it's a shame Firestone president didn't get readings. just an amazing number of people, and we didn't know about it. You know, the world didn't know that Edgar Cayce was doing readings for so many important people. And that's primarily because Edgar Cayce didn't beat his own drum. You know, he wasn't out there trying to sell himself, trying to sell these readings. You know, for the vast majority of his career, he was a photographer. You know, this was something that was important to him, but it was not something to be sold. And he helped people who came to him, regardless of how rich or powerful they were. Certainly, early on in our research, that's what attracted to us, the rich and famous. You know, Gloria Swanson, all kinds of interesting people. However, the deeper we got on, we got into it, the deeper we got into the research, I think we discovered that it was the housewife from Seattle. It was the tombstone cutter from Selma, Alabama. It was the spiritualist from Altadena, California that really resonated, whose readings are so very remarkable and I think resonated the most for us.
I found it interesting that Thomas Edison was one of the people involved with Edgar Cayce. What kind of things did they talk about?
The nature of electricity, the nature of the universe. You know, Edison was extremely interested in psychic powers, and at various points in his career was trying to build a device to measure that. Thomas Edison was also one of the first people to try to record Edgar Cayce's voice. It wasn't entirely successful. However, later on, another engineer was able to do that with quite remarkable success. In the, you know, 1940s, 1950s, even certainly with the 1960s, with the popularity of, you know, the book The Sleeping Prophet about Edgar Cayce, the emphasis was really on spiritualism and on prophecies. And so much of what Edgar Cayce really had to say wasn't focused on. The engineering, the scientific readings are a whole aspect of that.
Sydney, I'm sorry. We have a caller on line one, and we'd like to talk with them. Hello. Can I welcome you to the show?
Yeah, my name is Mac from Seattle. I have a question for Sydney.
All right, Mac. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. Early in the program, you were talking about people should consult the Edgar Cayce readings if they have questions or want to get information. And I was wondering, how can you go about doing that without Virginia Beach is a long ways away?
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, I would just recommend you read or look over the book, even if you just check it out of the library, so you get a sense of how Edgar Cayce did what he did, because it will help you to understand the readings themselves, that these readings are for particular individuals at a particular time. And that's very relevant, because Edgar Cayce making a medical recommendation for a patient in Hopkinsville, Kentucky in the 1930s, before genetically engineered tomatoes might influence, that and how you look at it. But there is an 800 telephone number to the ARE in Virginia Beach. And, Marilyn, if you don't mind, I'd be happy to give it out.
I wish you would.
Okay, it's 1-800-333-4499. In addition to that, there's many different companies, outfits, that where you can purchase, and they're really not that expensive, various Edgar Cayce treatments and things that he recommended that are not found sort of in regular pharmacies, because a lot of the things Cayce recommended, I won't say a lot, but a certain small percentage, consisted of what might be thought of at the time as sort of oddball things, and still haven't, been fully accepted in mainstream. But there's a couple mail order places. Bar Products is a very good one. I'll give you that number too if you like. It's 800-269-2502. But there's, as I said, there's just a wide range of products. When I first started this project, I just picked out five things to experiment with myself, and one of those was hair loss, because I'm going bald, and I said, well, it couldn't hurt. I'll try it and experiment. And Cayce's treatment for baldness, one of them, was the use of grade 5 Pennsylvania crude oil, which is actually sort of mixed in with a shampoo, and extremely inexpensive. I mean, it's less than you'd find at a supermarket shampoo. And I tell you, the stuff works.
I'd like to add one thing too, Sydney, so our listeners are aware that there are ARE retreats in the local Seattle-Tacoma area. In fact, there's one coming up in April we'll be sharing with our readers, our listeners. And there are speakers and workshops available locally that they can attend. Also, I encourage people to join the Edgar Cayce Search for God study groups in our community. There are many that they can find out about through calling our local office of 1-888-812-3386. That's the local ARE office, 1-888-812-3386 in Edmonds. So you can get more information that way, too.
Yeah, we might just point out what a Search for God study group is all about.
I wish you would.
Towards the latter part of Edgar Cayce's career, a group of people came to him and essentially wanted to know how to develop themselves spiritually, and a series of readings were given. And
thank you.
Sort of Christian oriented, but one doesn't have to be a Christian, to study and find them helpful. And since Edgar Cayce died, these study groups have sprung up all over the world. There's thousands of them, and in almost every major city has at least one of these study groups, and even a little town where I am has two of them. It's quite extraordinary, and a lot of people find them quite helpful and as a great resource.
There is also a CD-ROM of Edgar Cayce readings available for people that have a computer, and the ARE Association has an internet web page. And if people are interested in contacting the library at the ARE, there is a wealth of information that is in a lending library situation where they can borrow. without having to purchase things. So there's a lot of available material about Edgar Cayce. Sydney, you mentioned some really famous names of people who had had readings, and I also know Harry Houdini had readings with Edgar Cayce. Are there still some people that you haven't mentioned that we might be interested in?
Oh, there's such a wonderful variety of people. I mean, as an author, I was particularly interested in Ernest Hemingway's mom, who came to Edgar Cayce because she was very distraught about her son's writing career and wanted to know how she could positively influence his career, because she didn't like some of the subjects that he was naturally drawn towards. And it's actually one of the most humorous readings given, because they essentially tell Ernest Hemingway's mother to keep her mouth closed.
That's great.
Shut up. Let him get on with his career. And she could positively influence that career by keeping her mouth closed and providing a good example.
Okay. Sydney, we have another caller on line one. Thank you for calling. Who do we have here?
Yes, I'd like to ask Sydney what the Cayce readings said about the land of Mu.
Yes, what the caller is referencing is legendary culture civilization called Mu, and Cayce made reference to it. You know, in so many readings, it covers just a wide variety of subjects. Though not much attention was given to Mu. You know, the vast majority of attention in that type of reading was given to Atlantis. And, you know, Edgar Cayce gave upwards, I'm sure, 100 readings about Atlantis.
If you'd like to...
What happened? Oh. Well, sorry, we lost the caller, but Sydney, if you'd like to continue your answer, we'd love to hear it.
A real remarkable series of readings were given about ancient history, and it's fascinating to look at how mythology developed, which is in very much keeping with the Edgar Cayce readings. And it's fascinating, say, for instance, Egypt, what Edgar Cayce had to say about Egypt. Edgar Cayce said that Atlanteans fleeing a doomed civilization, you know, there were these cataclysms, which ultimately resulted in the destruction of Atlantis. But prior to that destruction, groups of Atlanteans went out around the world, one group of which went to Egypt. And according to Cayce, underneath the paws of the Great Sphinx, which, by the way, Cayce said was built or carved thousands of years before the actual, you know, Giza pyramids, but underneath the paws of that sphinx is a stone chamber, and inside that chamber is allegedly documents about the, you know, early history of mankind and Atlantis.
And
all kinds of great discoveries.
And also Lemuria, which is Mu, another name for Mu.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. I want everybody to know, if they're interested in having me, calling me for counseling, my phone number is 253-845-4907. If you wish to sponsor this show, call the station at 253-584-1480. If you want to call this show, call 253-584-1480 in Pierce County and 253-804-5765 in King County. We're looking forward to your calls. Thank you. To Solutions with Marilyn. And I want to remind people that next week on our program, we will have two recovering methamphetamine people that would like to share their experience for others that are having difficulty in this disease, and it is a disease, and hopefully people can find some hope from what they offer. Sydney, there's a rumor that goes around AA that Bill Wilson, one of the founders, got readings from Edgar Cayce. Did you come across any evidence of that?
No, but I certainly have heard that said very frequently. You know, also, you know, there's been talk that Edgar Cayce had something to do with, you know, the formation of the League of Nations. Perhaps been one of the authors of the Urantia material. You know, there's been all kinds of talk. My feeling is that there's a truth, there's an internal consistency that runs through the Cayce readings, and it's that same truth that can be found manifesting in many different ways, in many different forms. And just because it has a similar flavor to it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it's the same author. It's the same truth. It's the same divine truth, perhaps.
I agree with that. I've just started reading the Urantia book and found it's all basically the same principles.
Same principles, but I certainly wouldn't go as far as to say the Urantia material is the same as Edgar Cayce, because it certainly is not. It most definitely is not. However, the spiritual basis, the deeper truths, you know, are there. A Course in Miracles. I think the same, you know, truth is manifested in that, and you know, one could make a very compelling argument that there is a divine source of some of these things.
I agree, having read Course in Miracles several times cover to cover.
Yeah.
I find it all fits together kind of like different facets of the diamond.
Mm-hmm. You know, it might be important to, you know, for people who don't really know who Edgar Cayce was to describe, you know, what it was what an actual reading was like.
Would you like to do that?
Yeah, I think that's important. As I said, you know, for much of his career, he was a photographer, and you know, this was something he would do twice a day. And he, very early on in his own career as a young man, got hooked up with physicians. So it was physicians who invariably put him into trance, and stenographers, you know, physician stenographers who took down, made verbatim transcripts of what he said. So, you know, on a given day, Edgar Cayce would, you know, start his day out as a photographer, and then at, you know, 9:45, 10 o'clock, he would take a break, and he would go into his back room where his wife, Gertrude, would guide him into trance. And what he had to do, he always took off his shoes, and he always had to take off his tie, because apparently, when he went into trance, there was a lot of blood flow to his neck, and it was unexplained, but, you know, it's just something he had to do. And he would lay back down on a sofa and started being guided into a trance. And when I say a trance, it was almost like a comatose kind of experience. He was so deep under that, well, there's examples of physicians who came along and stuck knitting needles. One physician who literally stuck a needle right through the side of his cheek, another who pulled one of his fingernails off, and Edgar Cayce didn't as much as flinch. You know, he was that deep under. You know, one very skeptical physician thought he had died. There was a window of perhaps less than a minute, 30 seconds or so, where as he was going into trance, if you put a question to him at that moment, you would be able to somehow tap into a deeper divine, some kind of source. It was like a window of opportunity. And that's when questions were put to him. And he would be able to answer virtually any question that was put to him. Nothing was off bounds, with the exception that the source didn't, if someone was out for sort of personal gratification, in the sense of wanting to do racetrack readings, this was something that Casey did not do. Early on in his career, there was experimentation along those lines, and it never turned out well. But so Edgar Casey would essentially deliver a monologue, sometimes, anywhere from 10 minutes to 40 minutes on a particular subject.
Interesting.
And he didn't refuse anyone who came to him, in a serious, well-meaning way.
Right. I know he lived in poverty most of his life, didn't he?
People don't realize that. I mean, they, have this preconception that, if you've been given these gifts, somehow you're doing it all for the money, and if you're legitimate, you would have, great riches. Well, that's really not the case, and I think it's also one of the things that makes Edgar Casey such a wonderful role model for so many people, because completely outside of this trance work, he was a dedicated husband. He was a dedicated father. He was very involved in his church. He was a deacon at his church for years, led Bible study. Many of the people who knew him through the church didn't even know he was a psychic. It was not something he talked about. He merely helped people who came to him. And the more sincere, the more needful the question put to him, often the greater the response. One of the things that I found just so personally interesting was about prayer with Edgar Casey, because Edgar Casey, in the trance readings and in talks and letters later on, he often discussed prayer as being fundamental to both the healing as well as the spiritual process, and that he compared prayer to almost like a musical note, that a person praying alone was sending a musical note which was pleasing, to the universe, and that two people together in harmony, in prayer, could truly make wonderful music. And in that same vein, when two or more people together came to Edgar Casey and asked for a reading, even more powerful material came out. And so, to my mind, some of the best, most interesting, most far-reaching readings that come through are when groups of people came to Edgar Casey to ask for help. And these are just truly remarkable, inspired readings.
I hear that there's going to be a movie project based on your book. Can you tell us about that?
I hope it. I hope it comes off, and I certainly, it's high time. Casey has been a subject of interest to film people since the 1920s. A Paramount Studios producer. Married into the Selznick Mayer family, was interested in making movies. Later on, Steven Spielberg wanted to make a movie about Edgar Casey. George Lucas, at one point, had a project going. There's another one based on on our book, Edgar Casey, An American Prophet. It's a difficult kind of challenge because he led a very long and rich life, and it's hard to pick a beginning and end, a sort of bookend a career like that. So my hat's off to the screenwriter who's working very hard at this moment, coming up with a good screenplay.
I know,
audiences have changed. Things that would have been considered science fiction as early as 10 years ago, it's now a reality. And, I think it's time for the Casey story to come out in film.
Well, Sydney, our music is playing, and I want to thank you so much for this enlightening and informative time. And I do hope people will get in touch with the ARE locally or at Virginia Beach and find out more information so their curiosity can be satisfied. And I wish you well on your new book you're working on and any other new Edgar Cayce information or projects that you have going for you. I hope it all works well, and it's been really fun talking with you.
Thank you, Marilyn. And, you know, if people want to find out more about me and the book, an easy way is right on the Internet, you know, EdgarCayceBooks.com. You know, and Cayce is C-A-Y-C-E. A lot of people misspell Cayce.
Okay, I'm sure they'll do that. Have a good day.
Thank you, Marilyn.
You've been listening to Marilyn Solutions. Listen again next week for another informative show with guests from coast to coast. For a copy of today's program or a copy of her new book, Roses Have Thorns, and videotapes on empowerment and spiritual tools for healing domestic violence, write to KLAY in care of Marilyn Solutions, 10025 Lakewood Drive Southwest, Tacoma, Washington, 98499. Or visit her website at marilyn@angelicasgifts.com.
Many people are looking for a new direction and a lift in spirit. Hello, I'm Reverend Marilyn, a counselor, teacher for over 30 years, and a spiritual advisor for addictions, codependency, domestic violence, past lives, and holistic healing. Join me every Wednesday at noon for Marilyn Solutions, a program sure to be of interest to everyone. We will talk with guests from coast to coast, offering a wide range of talents and information. That's Marilyn Solutions, Wednesdays at noon on your news and information station, KLAY 1180.